Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. We are back with you today for our monthly conversation on the emerging markets. For today's episode, we will spend some time highlighting the monthly flagship report from the Chief Investment Office Emerging Markets team. The title for this month, The Lines Separating Developed and Emerging Markets Are Blurring. Joining me for the conversation today, glad to welcome back here in studio at 1285 Alejo Zerwanko, the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with UBS CIO. Great to have you back, Alejo.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan.
Absolutely. So I do want to point out, Alejo, I know you've been teaching a graduate level course on investing in emerging markets at Columbia University right here in New York. You've been doing this for quite a few years now, and that you kick off the first class session with a seemingly simple question of what differentiates an emerging market from a developed one. So can you tell us a bit more about that?
It's interesting, Dan, being totally pragmatic, as investors, we have delegated the answer to that question to a handful of private companies. Investors have come to rely on index providers, typically MSCI for equities, JP Morgan for fixed income and currencies, to define for us what is an emerging market, what is a developed market. And for that reason, trillions of dollars track this emerging market indices. These companies use proprietary frameworks to categorize countries, but few investors stop and think, is this the right way to, you know, separate the world and make investment decisions? I think it's ever so often worthwhile to stop and think. And I try to do that in class. I ask my students and they immediately start coming up with, it must be GDP per capita or poverty rates, right? Something that helps separate develop from emerging. But then I point them to the examples of the UAE, Korea, the Czech Republic, Chile, fairly wealthy places, right, on a GDP and poverty kind of indicators. And so that dispels the notion that you can't just rely on GDP. We move on and think about the structure of the economy. A lot of people think that emerging markets are relics of the past, characterized by low levels of industrialization, manufacturing prowess, right? But then they take a quick look at Brazil's advanced aerospace industry or Taiwan's semiconductor leadership or Poland's high-tech supply chain. And so that notion is dispelled as well. We continue down the route, right, of indicators, and people immediately think about macroeconomic instability, high inflation as typical of emerging markets. But then you realize emerging markets have learned from past mistakes. They take central bank independence seriously, fiscal responsibility to some extent seriously. And this shift in approach has helped curve the boom-bust cycles of prior decades and has led to more stable inflation. Let me give you an example. The median inflation rate for the countries that make up the MSCI Emerging Markets Index was just over 3% last year. So, you know, very much under control. Finally, Dan, my students point to it must be policy and politics uncertainty. But I think it takes a quick glance at, you know, global events so far this year to recognize that that's everywhere.
It's interesting, Alejo, based on what you've shared with us, clearly the lines separating developed and emerging markets are blurring. So what still sets them apart?
To be fair, there's one area, a key area, where there's still quite a distance between developed and emerging markets, and that is the depth, size of capital markets, domestic capital markets, and therefore asset price volatility. The median emerging market country accounts for just 0.12% of global equity market capitalization, right? Very small fraction. And China, the largest country that is still defined as an emerging market on the equity space, represents just 3% of global equity market cap. So you've got shallower capital markets that tend to experience greater price swings, and therefore you see that equity market volatility in emerging markets is higher than that in the developed world.
So if a student gives you that answer, you'll know they listened to the podcast.
It is in the midterm.
Got it. Good to know. Good homework here. So let's talk about investment implications as we begin to close out, Alejo. What does this all mean for our listeners' portfolios?
I think, conclusion, the lines that once clearly separated emerging from developed markets are fading. The world is changing fast, right? And investors need to consider both groups of countries in their portfolios to be future-proof, right, in terms of investment strategy. Let me give you a couple of pointers. This is all explained in depth in our latest Investing in Emerging Market publication, but more tactically, within equities, we have a positive view on mainland China's tech. This is supported by robust earnings growth, AI innovation, and easing chip microchip restrictions. We also continue to like India, Brazil, for their strong fundamentals. In fixed income, we do acknowledge that dollar bond spreads in the emerging world are tight, but overall interest rates of around 7% are attractive, right, by historical standards, and there's been an increase in demand for the asset class so far this year. So there's a range of ways you can express these views. I think the more fundamental picture here is you can avoid these countries. They should be core part of your investment strategy, particularly because things are evolving and it's no longer as clear that, you know, some countries are developed, some countries are emerging. There's some sort of convergence across a number of indicators, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse.
Well, a fascinating conversation, Alejo. It's always helpful to hear about the investment implications and the guidance from CIO when it comes to positioning. Again, I do want to point our listeners, especially our clients, to the publication which Alejo has been making reference to on today's episode. That is the Investing in Emerging Markets monthly flagship piece. The title, again, for this month, The Lines Separating Developed and Emerging Markets Are Blurring. Again, today we've been joined by Alejo Zerwanko, the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with UBS CIO. Alejo, thank you as always, and do look forward to our next conversation next month.
Thank you. Speak soon. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.